chromosomes. Little strands of nucleic acids and proteins are the fundamental genetic instructions that tell us who we are at birth. Most people are born with 46 chromosomes, but each year in the United States, about 6,000 people are born with an extra chromosome, making them a person with Down syndrome. If you've ever encountered someone with Down syndrome, you know that they are some of the kindest, most joyful people you will ever meet. They truly have something extra. My name is Lisa Nichols, and I have spent the last 24 years as both the CEO of Technology Partners and as the mother to Allie. Allie has something extra in every sense of the word. I have been blessed to be by her side as she impacts everyone she meets. Through these two important roles as CEO and mother to Allie, I have witnessed countless life lessons that have fundamentally changed the way I look at the world. While you may not have an extra chromosome, every leader has something extra that defines who you are. Join me as I explore the something extra in leaders from all walks of life and discover how that difference in each of them has made a difference in their companies, their families, their communities, and in themselves. If you like this episode today, please go to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and leave us a 5-star rating.
I am thrilled to have Lauren Sweeney on the show today. Lauren is the founder and CEO at Dotted Line. So Lauren Sweeney, I am so delighted to have you on the podcast today. Every time you and I get together and talk, we always have so much fun. So I know that we're going to have fun today and we're going to be sharing this conversation with a bunch of listeners, which is even more exciting.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me, Lisa. I have been such a fan of the podcast and I love the mission behind the podcast. I love the stories that you have pulled out from a variety of different leaders. And I will say, I know that you talk about your daughter, Allie, as being your inspiration for the podcast, but she has, having you as her mother is such a sweet blessing. So thank you for allowing me to be part of the conversation today.
Oh, well, I am delighted that you're here. And I think you've met Allie, haven't you, Lauren?
Didn't you meet Allie?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. So you, Greg and I met you and your husband, Sean, several years ago now. We're both in an organization called YPO. For our listeners that don't know that organization, it's Young Presence Organization. But in addition to that, we are part of a network within YPO called the Christian Fellowship Network. And every year there is a Vision and Values conference. And that is how we met you and Sean a couple years ago. And I believe Allie was with us at that conference.
Absolutely. It was great to be with you and Greg, and Allie embodies so much of what you talk about on the podcast. So I love just getting a taste of that listening to you as you interview different people.
Yeah, very good. Well, you know, what's so fun about that, Lauren, I mean, you just never know when you're going to meet someone that you really connect with, but you and I now have regular, I don't know, probably every month or so, you know, we have a regular check-in with one another. You and I are both on the Christian Fellowship Network board together. And just as of recently, we're going to be doing a little engagement with your company, which I'm really excited about. And, you know, as it goes along, our listeners will hear more about that as well. So just very excited on a lot of different fronts here. But I know that you grew up in Richmond, Virginia. That's where you are today. You're calling in from there, and I'm obviously in St. Louis. But Lauren, I'd love for you to tell our listeners a little bit, because you kind of grew up with a family of small business owners and going all the way back, at least as far as I know, to your grandfather. And so you really kind of grew up watching entrepreneurs and kind of seeing how small businesses work. Can you tell us a little bit about growing up and what that was like?
Yeah, absolutely. So like you said, my grandfather owned a successful oil and gas company. And so he really ignited the fire in me around kind of small business. And I think what small business kind of potential could look like in your life. And I was very close with him growing up. He lived in Southwest Virginia, so we spent a lot of time with him, both at his plants and multiple locations, as well as just around the dinner table having conversations. So much of what I heard growing up was around sort of the joys, but also the trials and tribulations of small business ownership. How do you best service a customer? How do you deal with maybe a challenging employee? All of those different types of themes that come up as part of small business. And so that very much shaped, I think, my desire for wanting to go into small to medium-sized business, as well as a little bit of kind of my experience. So he really believed in sort of the power and kind of a responsibility small business owners had to use the business and its resources to do good, not just for the employees, which was important, the people of the business, but also in local community. And he was actively involved in, and his company was, in different philanthropic ventures in their small town. And so he really served as a model for me. And like I said, why I wanted to go into that kind of long term, and how I viewed like business ownership and kind of the responsibility as part of it. It's an interesting story. A lot of my staff knows this. When he passed away, which has been quite some time, the local paper of the town that he lived in printed an article on the front page of the paper that said, "We've lost a good friend." And I have it here actually in my office, and it's up on my wall. And I just think it's a testament to what he did, and not just being a good steward of the resources God gave him, but also just leading and influencing people effectively.
Oh, that is so beautiful. I love that. I love that. And his legacy continues on in you, you know, mm-hmm. Lauren, to this day, because you have your own company. Your dad, you know, obviously had his own company. Yeah, that is so cool. So let me ask you this, kind of watching that, you kind of got a little bit of a mini MBA, if you will, just around the dinner table. But were there businesses that you started as a child, or that you thought about starting when you were a little girl?
Yeah, great question. I always had, I think, more natural leadership tendencies, had started like a club in our neighborhood for some kids, and always took active roles, volunteering for leadership positions like in school, but had not actually started a business. But I had started a business before I started Dotted Line, which is my marketing agency. So kind of fast forward, when I graduated undergrad, got hired into a local Fortune 1000 company based here in Richmond, Virginia. And on the side, I had started a hobby business. And my friend and I designed and manufactured paper products that we sold online. And so we built our own website. We did the PR. We sent the paper products to editors at lifestyle publications. And then we literally designed and manufactured, you know, shipped and sold all these paper products. And so it was a business I did nights and weekends, but it gave me kind of that first spark of like, wow, like I could have an idea and I could take this to market. I can generate a customer off of it. And it was exciting. And I think when you kind of have that realization, it allows you to see what could be possible in charting your own path.
Yeah. Oh, that is so good. Well, I don't know if you knew this, but Greg and I, you know, I started a little flower business when I was 7. He started a business when we were in, I guess, high school, college. And then we had a business before Technology Partners that was a software business. So you saying like you manufactured everything, you did everything in-house. I remember those days. We had a little software product business, and we were the shipping department, the packaging department, the graphic design department, you know, all of the above. So anyway, that is really cool. Well, I do like education wise, you have a BA in economics and business from Randolph, and then you went on to get a master's certificate from the George Washington University. But I'm glad that you talked about starting in corporate, and you did do that, but I think you were only there for maybe 3 years, Lauren. Mm-hmm. And then you jumped onto the entrepreneurial wagon when you were 25 mm-hmm. and founded the Dotted Line, the marketing agency. So tell us a little bit about that journey. You know, I've got to know you were 25 years old. Mm-hmm. How in the world did you have the courage to step out into the unknown, you know, to do that? And, you know, I think you were kind of working. I think you were working at your corporate job and then doing that one in tandem for a while. So I'm sure you were burning the candle at both ends.
Yes, I was. And I think, and I'm sure, Lisa, this would probably resonate with you. Sometimes you don't always know what you're getting into until you're in the thick of it. It doesn't mean I wouldn't do it again, but it's a hard journey. I mean, entrepreneurship is a hard journey, and maybe that's something we could talk about as well. But getting started is always sometimes the most exciting part of the process. So you're right. I worked for a corporation in a couple of different roles and got kind of promoted and moved up quickly across recruiting, operations, and then communications. And I had had that side business that I just mentioned about selling the paper products. And I realized at that point that I wanted to get more experience in a startup capacity or working for a smaller company. And that business that I had was not one that I felt like could be a full-time venture. So I had a couple other business ideas. I was planning and trying to read and learn as much as I could. I started to reach out to different business owners and set up lunches and coffees with them to just learn as much as I could. And then at that same time, I also decided to move home to save money. So I was like, I'm not sure what I'm going to do, but I want to keep my expenses as low as possible and build up some savings so that I had some flexibility. I was single at the time, so not married, didn't have any kids. So that really reduces the amount of like risk and pressure when you're starting a new venture. Mm-hmm. And so as part of that process, a couple of the ideas that I had, I realized pretty quickly all required a lot more experience and capital than I had at the time. But what I found was some of these businesses, and they were very small. Some of them were even like solopreneurs or a small team, needed help with more of a strategic kind of or audience-first strategy with their marketing. And being able to understand how to map marketing goals and put a program in place that was going to drive measurable revenue growth for their business. And I said, oh, I've done that, and here's what I've done. And I also have this corporate experience in communications. So I got started by doing consulting, actually. And I thought, I'll kind of do this for a period of time and then reevaluate. This will get me some other experience. And that was almost 10 years ago. And our agency has grown since then. I can talk a little bit about our agency and what we do. But that's how I got started. But you're right. I did work my day job for about 9 months while I built the business on the side to make sure that I felt like I had enough clients and enough revenue coming in the door. I felt like I had kind of the savings. I had a plan. Some mm-hmm. things don't always go as you plan them, which is a different topic.
Really?
But
Been a linear process for you? I mean, you set the plan out. It's not been a linear process, huh?
It is not a linear process, but yeah, so that's how I got started. And the first couple of years are always hard. It's called the white knuckle phase. But you're learning a lot and you're getting experience and building your network. And that's what I did as, I built the agency that I run. Meet my husband and we got married, and I'd had Dotted Line for a couple of years, which is the business that I run day to day. And my husband said, you know, I think I would like to start my own business. And so we started in the business that he runs the day to day of. So we own two companies, but the one he runs day to day of was a different startup venture because we were married. Like, he did have a son and we were trying to have kids. So we've kind of done both sides of starting businesses at different phases of your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In the name of his company, Spinnaker, you know, and we're not going to give him too much airtime here. I want to talk about your business, but if people want to know, Spinnaker does amazing, amazing consulting work, kind of like a boutique McKinsey kind of thing, you know? So if anybody needs that kind of service, reach out to Lauren's husband, Sean. But so let's dig into Dotted Line. I want to hear all the services that you provide, size of companies you serve, number of employees, you know, just tell me everything about Dotted Line, and in case we've got listeners out there who are needing your services.
Yeah. So yeah, Dotted Line is what we call strategically inspired or strategically led creative agency that focuses on generating business results for mid-market companies that have ambitious growth goals. And so what has happened in the sort of the media landscape, certainly in the past 10 to 20 years, but even more so in the past year to even 6 months. It's just this advancement in technology that has allowed consumers to interact with brands in so many new and different ways than traditional advertising. And so through this kind of rapid transformation with social media and digital marketing and video, there's so many different ways to connect with consumers. And so what our team does is build what we consider audience-first strategies for brands and map that to a brand-centric marketing program that's going to deliver measurable growth for their business. So a stat that we always like to talk about is 26% of marketing budgets are wasted because it's on creative that isn't effectively reaching the target audience and doing it in a way that is going to connect and drive them to take action. So we, you know, as a marketing agency, we will put together those strategies that will connect with the audience and then across many different channels deliver on the growth programs in order to make sure that the marketing is as effective as it can be for the brand. Mm-hmm. We do that through data at a number of different points, both before, during, and after as we're running campaigns, but we will handle for clients kind of the full spectrum of their marketing and communications for those medium-sized clients.
Yeah. And I just want to say this, you know, in just 8 years, Lauren, just 8 years, you made it to the Inc. 5000 fastest growing companies. You're a best places to work in Virginia. You've received so many awards and accolades already. So first of all, I just want to say congratulations. That's amazing, amazing growth, you know, for only being around for 8 years. And then secondly, just I know it's not easy. I'm sure it's not been easy. I'm sure that there are days, like we talked before, it's not linear. You know, it's not all, you know, unicorns and rainbows. There's really some hard times. And there's probably been some times, Lauren, that you've looked in the mirror and got scratching your head going, what have I done? Or what are we doing? You know, so that's very normal. But, you know, I mean, would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right. We have seen a lot of success. And I think it's because, and I heard an entrepreneur once say this, he used to always say, you have to know what makes you different, right? Like what, how is your product unique or different in the marketplace? And I think for us at Dotted Line, it's because of a couple of things. I think one is we've hired non-conventional leaders to run the agency, people that understand business and appreciate marketing and can bring in the right experts we need to build flex teams for our clients. But we've also aimed to build a workplace that values people. And so we are values led. We're very intentional with like our vision and mission and yes, the values that we hire. And we lead with those across all the facets of the agency. And so I think that people recognition and building, being intentional about workplace culture creates sort of the fertile ground in which you can create award-winning work and positive results for clients, because it's sort of in the agency world, there's so many different layers and probably very similar to your business too, Lisa, that you need to make sure that things are singing on a positive note in order to achieve those results for clients. And so we've been very intentional about doing that every step of the way.
I love what you just said, because it starts with your people, right? Mm-hmm. It's your people. You know, if you have engaged, happy employees, they're going to do right by the client. I was just listening to Uncle Warren, you know, Warren Buffett. I was just listening to a speech on about him, or a speech that he gave, a very inspirational speech. And he alluded to Jack Taylor, who founded Enterprise Rent-A-Car here in St. Louis, a very iconic brand, not just for St. Louis, but globally, right? And he said, you know, it's one of those markets. It's kind of like, you know, kind of a crowded market, you know, renting cars. But Jack came in and said, no, we're going to have excellence with our customer experience, you know, and the, everything they have done, you know, from like, we will pick you up to whatever, has really been about, you know, that excellence in service. And so, you know, even for an organization that is similar to other organizations, there are ways that you can differentiate yourself, but it all starts with your people, I do believe. So you just set me up for a perfect segue, because I was going to ask you, what is the company mission statement, Lauren?
Yeah, so our company mission statement is, we believe we exist to help our clients exponentially grow their business. And we have ways in which we define that, like I said, through audience-first strategic work. But we believe we're here to be almost their outsourced marketing department in whatever capacity they need, and to be flexible and nimble. As their brand and business grows, we can provide different services. So that's how we have started, and very much where we, I think when we find we do our best work is when we operate with that mindset. Lisa, you bring up another interesting point, though, that I do feel like is important. And faith is, as you mentioned, something that's important to me, and I know it's important to you as well. And I think, you know, God calls leaders to use their talents and their resources to be a blessing to those that they come into contact with. And so I think part of that on the people front is, how are you also leading in a way that is Christ-like, and I think respectful and kind, and kind of living those values through the workplace. And some of that we talk about more directly versus indirectly, but I think an important part of like people leadership and at least for my husband and I, when we're thinking about what are we doing kind of with our time and our talents here at the agency.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's really good. That's really good. Yeah. I could not agree more with that, with what you just said there. So, let me ask you a couple more questions, and then we do need to take a quick break. But we talked about the mission statement of the business. Do you have a personal mission statement, Lauren? Because a lot of people have mission statements for their business, but they've never taken the time to define it. Do you have a personal mission statement?
I wouldn't know if I would say a statement per se. I have certainly spent a lot of time thinking about this, and I love the name of your podcast being Something Extra, which is like, what is that special something that leaders and each person can bring it, no matter what season they're in or what organization or role they're in their life. I find that I do best bringing kind of big ideas and encouraging and inspiring people to try new things, bringing kind of a high level of like passion and purpose to whatever assignment it is, whether it be with Dotted Line or maybe something that I'm involved with like philanthropically. And that I think is not just fills me up, but makes me feel like I'm bringing kind of joy to the world. I'm bringing that blessing and that experience that I hope people have when they interact with me.
Yeah. So is that kind of your why? Would you say your why is really to bring joy, and especially the light of God and your faith into the world? Would you say that's part of your why?
I think joy is a part of it, but I think helping people maybe realize their potential, or the potential of what something could be, whether it's an assignment or a project, whatever that looks like. But I find I bring high level of passion. So when my passion starts to wane, it may be time for me to move on, but I'm able to sort of see how we could create something or bringing a fresh new idea to that. And that brings energy and momentum. And so that's much of what we do with marketing, but certainly do so in other ways as well.
Yeah, I love that. Well, we do need to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Lauren Sweeney on the Something Extra podcast.
Hey there. In a challenging business climate like this, savvy leaders look to technology to find an edge. This can mean the difference between staying ahead of the curve or playing catch up. It's time to collaborate with the highly skilled experts at Technology Partners. Our team of technologists draws upon decades of experience for your project, with each bringing a passion for solving problems and a track record of success. How can we help you overcome your biggest technology challenges? Visit technologypartners.net to book a free consultation with one of our leaders.
So welcome back, everyone, to the Something Extra podcast with my sweet friend, Lauren Sweeney. So Lauren, starting Dotted Line, what were there any things that surprised you about this? Or, you know, I mean, you know, what challenges did you have? I mean, we already talked about that. It's not linear. I'm sure you had some challenges, but what really surprised you, and what challenges do you feel like you kind of had to overcome?
Yeah. And I think it's almost like the facing failure or fear of failure feels like something that happens on the daily, even now. Yeah. Almost 8-9 years in business. It's just, it's a constant. Entrepreneurship is, from my personal perspective, is very hard. I think people always see the upside and how good it can be, which it can be. There's some really high highs, but there's also some low lows. And so being able to kind of manage through that has been something that I'm still truthfully trying to learn how to best do. Lisa, I know you know this, but we've had, this year has been actually one of the hardest seasons we've ever had in business because of things that have happened outside of our control, but these setbacks have really made us question and learn how to best like adapt and I think develop a growth mindset. I would have always, if you had asked me a year ago, I would have said we were very much growth oriented and have a growth mindset, open to trying new things and learning new things. And if we didn't know, we would figure it out and we will learn it at a certain point, which all those things are true. But sometimes when you're in the face of like multiple setbacks and rejections and hearing the word no, it can be hard to continue to bring high levels of enthusiasm. So absolutely, I'm just agreeing with what you said and happy to go through any of those specific details. But those are the pieces that journalists don't often write about, right? They talk about the headlines of award-winning and having this fantastic culture, you know, winning some new piece of business, which is all exciting and those things should be celebrated. But it's oftentimes just the very small things that happen every single day and kind of pushing through some of those setbacks and hearing the word no and rejection that it takes to get to a high that you had mentioned. So I would say that is probably one of my biggest learnings on my entrepreneurial journey is just being able to see kind of what it needs to take to have a successful venture. And it's not always easy.
It's not always easy. And I think sometimes, Lauren, it's just the staying power. It's the staying power of not giving up. You know, this is a season. You have setbacks, possibly. But, you know, if you continue to work hard and make wise decisions, you know, most of the time you come out of those things. And not always. I don't want to be a Pollyanna because sometimes companies don't, but most of the time you do. But never discount the perseverance and the grit that it takes, right, to get through. And then also, I think sometimes just a change of perspective, right? And I mean, listen, Technology Partners, we've been doing this for 29, almost 30 years. There have been great wins and there have been great losses. But, you know, having that perspective to say, wow, you know, what can we learn from what just happened? What can we learn? And sometimes it's in those times, Lauren, that I feel like, you know, a light is maybe shown on some gaps or a light is shown on some things that, wow, we need to pay attention to this and improve on this. So, you know, without those times, I'm not sure that you would recognize the gaps.
Yeah, absolutely. So. And I think my perception of business ownership and entrepreneurship was that was a little bit more of a linear journey. And it is, it's not, it's very much like a jungle gym. And I love that analogy of careers, but it's true. I mean, you might take four steps forward, but maybe have a few steps back and it can take time. There's different seasons and I agree with you. You have to be very mindful of the customer, I think the market and being willing to pivot and adjust. And I think as believers, then, you know, surrendering and looking for kind of what does God have for you next? I love the phrase, I've heard this, that your setbacks are usually set ups for what that next step is. And so kind of looking at maybe, I hate to use the word failure because typically it's not always failure, but maybe something that didn't happen at the pace at which I would like it to happen.
Right.
Could be the best thing in the long term. So.
Yeah. Oh, that's really good. John Maxwell has a book out there and it's called, you know, it's win or lose and the lose is marked out and it says learn, you know? So I think that's a really good way to think about it too. You know, these last few years, especially going through COVID, very, very hard. And you've already kind of talked a little bit about this, Lauren. You are a high energy person. You're a high, you know, highly passionate person. Sometimes it's hard, you know, to keep that up. But, you know, how do you personally as a leader keep your team? Because you're, you know, as the leader goes, so goes the organization, right? And so if you as a leader are not passionate, if you're not motivated, if you're not energized, then you really cannot expect your team to be. So, but how have you personally as a leader really kept your team engaged and motivated and aligned, especially during, you know, this kind of hybrid work that we've all become accustomed to?
Yeah. So, and it's, I'd be curious your perspective too, Lisa. It's, I don't know if there's just one thing. I think it just depends on the season and where we are. I mean, we do, I find that having a compelling vision and a plan, a growth plan, gives people the context of where we're headed, but it's oftentimes the way you treat them or how you handle conversations in the moment that make the biggest impact. And so we do different things with our team, whether we're connecting in like fun and formal ways. I think, you know, we work hard to make sure that we're creating an enjoyable workplace culture, because people, I think, have enough stress in their life that, having that, you know, creating the right environment in which they can do the best work is incredibly important. And we're in a creative agency, so much of the energy, like we're managing the energy of the teams to produce great work for our clients. So thinking about the team energy is incredibly important. And just connecting with people one-on-one. I think historically, I would have been much more like, go, go, go. Like, let's just go get it all done, which we are like that. And I do think we drive hard, but it's also sometimes you have to take a moment to connect with people. And so we were intentional about doing that. And some of it, like I said, is structured and some of it is informal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really good. That's really good. There is a, I just had a conversation with her a couple of days ago, it's a company called JAM, J-A-M, Christy Harold. And, you know, her whole thing is about like adding play. You know, adding play and, you know, it's not, I mean, you have to like, to your point, you've got to keep it fun. You've got to keep it, you know, a good place for people to be. My goodness, Lauren, we spend a third of our time. Mm-hmm. We spend a third of our time working, right? And if it's drudgery and not, you know, if there's not some levity and some fun in there, you know, then that's a lot of your time that's not going to be that pleasurable. So yeah, I agree with you though. There's multiple things that we need and aspects that we need to look at. But, you know, one of the things, and I want to talk about this because I think this is really important. You know, one of the pitfalls, Lauren, that entrepreneurs, especially when you're the buck stops with you and you've got, you know, a lot of people that you're responsible for, and not just those people, right? But we always look at it, we're stewards of families. Mm-hmm. As well, that are counting on us, right, to make good decisions. But because of that, you know, there's a lot, and I don't know what the stat is. I think the average person makes 30,000 decisions a day, you know, some of those subconscious, some of those conscious, but a leader, you know, is probably twice that, you know, so sometimes you can get like burned out, right? And I've seen it, and I know that it is something that we really need to be cognizant of. I don't know if you know the name Dana Spinola. Do you know Dana Spinola? Do you, Lauren?
I do know Dana, and I loved listening to the podcast episode you had with her for a few weeks ago, which, by the way, I sent it to my husband. I'll tell everyone on your podcast that that would be a great one for your listeners to listen to if they have not.
Yeah, it is a good one. She owns the Fabric Boutiques and does some social entrepreneurism as well. But, you know, I love her statement. She said, my phone at one time was always on 1%, and so was I. Mm-hmm. You know, so how do you strike a balance, you know, between all of these things, you know, wanting to delight your customers, Lauren, and having deadlines. You've got deadlines. You've got things that, you know, are in the hopper that have to get done, and to strike that balance between that and rest so that you don't get burned out. What do you do personally?
Well, and I would even add to that, I think what's hard, and for me, and not just me, but also folks on our staff that have young kids. So I have a daughter that's 4.5, is it can be even more challenging to make sure that you're bringing your home life and your family the best that you have to offer, which is just an added layer of sometimes stress and pressure when you feel like you can't get everything right. For me, I think I'm always, I will say, preface this by saying I'm still learning. I'm still trying to figure out how to best do that. I have also learned that I think it's a journey. I don't think you ever have the exact right amount of balance. There are seasons or days that I'm going harder at work, and there's seasons that I'm not. And I'm trying to use as much time as I can, like with my daughter. But I do intentionally manage my calendar and plan it out so that I can make sure that I fill in family obligations and the things that I know I need to do to bring my best self to work and to my family. And that I've learned this year. So through exercise and connecting with friends and even allowing some time to do deep breathing or get outside, those things I have found fill me up and allow me to feel like I have just a renewed mind and perspective that I can bring both to, like I said, home to my young child and husband, and then also to the office. So I try to schedule those things first. It doesn't happen. It's not like every week it's perfect, but I try to kind of look at it at the whole, say, okay, for this month, like what could I be doing? How can I make sure I have times of rest and then time at the office, time where I'm in meetings, but maybe time that I'm just walking around and connecting informally with the team. So I think for me, much of it comes down to like just being really intentional with time and time management, but not trying to manage it with perfectionism because it can't ever be perfect. Yeah. So that's a little bit of what I've done, but I'm continuing to try and I'm also an introspective person. So if I know something isn't right or I'm feeling very burned out, I know the signs where I need to take some time, whether it's a half day or maybe a long weekend or schedule an impromptu vacation. You have to be able to do that to be able to think about the long term. I love what I do. I want to work for many years. So I think being consistent and intentional and how to think about vacation and time off is important.
Yeah, no, that's really good. And, you know, you said something that I think it's just the operative, you know, and you didn't use exactly these words, but this is what you meant, the self-awareness. Mm-hmm. Being self-aware and then having the courage to say, you know what, that can wait. I need to take a half a day or I need to take a long weekend, you know, mm-hmm. but you've got to, you know, because really and truly, you know, Lauren, here's the thing, our team, our family doesn't need us showing up that way. Right. So yeah. It's not fair to them that we show up that way. So, you know, be self-aware and take care of yourself. You know, I read something that you had written. I think maybe it was an interview that you did. And I just loved it where you said there were 5 things that you wish someone had told you before you started Dotted Line. Can you just real quickly for our listeners' sake, can you say what those are, those 5 things?
Yeah, absolutely. So the first one was around how you think about failure. So reframing and challenging yourself to think about your perspective of failure and whether or not you fear it. Because in entrepreneurship, I mean, you're trying so many new things no matter what stage of the company the organization is in. And so being able to kind of learn and grow and embrace that, like, failure is going to happen. It's hard. I tend to like things a little bit more in a structured way. And so you have to be able to let go of that. And if something like a setback or something that it didn't go as planned, being willing to embrace it and continue to push forward. So that's one. I think the second is focusing time on revenue generating activities first. Again, with entrepreneurship, and you know, Lisa, there's so many things that can happen on the to-do list every single day, and it can be very easy to feel overwhelmed. I still feel that on some days, but focusing on the things that are going to grow the business and prioritizing revenue generating activities will allow you to continue to grow the business and manage your to-do list and priorities without feeling overwhelmed. The third thing that I had was just sharpening influence skills. This was a big learning for me when I started the agency. I thought if I did great work and built strong relationships with clients, the agency would grow, and it did, and that is true. But you also need to be able to influence those that you sell to, your clients, you know, trying to attract top hires to the agency. So influence has been, I think, a muscle similar to mindset that I have really focused on learning during my time as an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. And then the last two is around, and we were talking about this as we think about like what makes a successful outcome or successful kind of year at the agency. And there's a quote by a famous business leader and finance guru, Dave Ramsey, that talks about focused intensity over time leads to growth and success. And he even adds, is that focused intensity over time, like multiplied by God, if you're a person of faith, and I know we are. And so I think that leads to exponential kind of success, whether that may not always be like personal success, but maybe impact in ways that you didn't necessarily know could happen. And then finally, I think identifying kind of that system to hire A players, top talent. There's only so much you can do as a business leader. And so much of, I find my success is based off of the people that I have around me and those that I've hired and how I've been able to develop and motivate and inspire them to do great work. So finding those A players and bringing them onto your team is incredibly important.
Yeah, I think those are five sage ways of thinking about it. I just love it. The focused intensity multiplied by God is going to give you exponential results. You've got to have influence. I'll never forget Lauren, global CIO for Bayer, was on the podcast. And at the time, you know, he was leading globally, Germany, all over. And his something extra was influence. He said, you know, if I cannot influence the team because I've got all of these different, you know, people in these different areas, if I cannot have that influence, then I have nothing, you know, I really cannot accomplish things. So, and the revenue generating activities, we have got to focus on that, do we not? Or we will not have a business to run. So yeah, but looking at your sales team, making sure that you're prospecting, making sure that you're qualifying leads, making sure you're doing the marketing piece to generate the leads. These are all very, very important because if we, like I say, if we don't have that revenue coming in, we're not going to be sustainable as an organization. So I really, really love that. So Sean is an entrepreneur. You're an entrepreneur. You guys each have your own businesses. Do you guys speak into one another? Are you guys each other's mentors a lot of times, Lauren?
We are not. I think it's helpful. I think when your partner in life understands the journey you're on and you can share in that. I think we have similar visions and passions, but we try to stay out of each other's businesses. We have had seasons where we were more involved. But as the businesses have grown, it's become a little bit more complex. So if there's something like, you know, severe or something like that, I'll talk to him about it. But for the most part, we've found that our family and home life is so important. So we try to protect that. That's really where we try to make sure that our time at home is spent like at home and not at work. But it's hard to do. And it has taken us many years to get to that point.
To figure it out. I know. And, you know, for couples out there, that is really great advice too. And it's hard, like you said, because, you know, in the early days, Greg and I, you know, every vacation, every time we would walk, every time we were, you know, we're strategizing all the time about the business, and we can still fall into that, Lauren, but I'll tell you something really funny. So, you know, Allie, she will say, like, if we start talking business at night, she's like, I'm going to go hang out with my sister. You guys are talking business, you know? And so just listen, don't do that to your kids. Listeners, don't do it to your kids. Don't just talk business all the time, but they can certainly learn some things too, you know, along the way. But what do you guys do for fun and how do you guys unwind?
Yeah. So we, I love having, I mean, fun. I would say I'm definitely the chief fun officer of our home. We love to eat out. We love to travel. We love being with friends. We love to entertain people at our home. And there are things that Sean and I love to do together, but we also, I think, have our own passions and interests, which is helpful. But I love getting girlfriends together and going to do something fun, whether it be exercising or playing tennis. I actually, in a few days, I have a birthday coming up. And so my college girlfriends and I rode last week. We did a very long bike ride to celebrate our birthday. I'll tell you, I'm turning 36 and we rode 36 miles to celebrate our birthdays. And so I just love doing fun things like that. They're a little bit out of the box that you wouldn't always get a chance to do. But I think celebrating life is important.
That is really good. I love that. I think it makes you just better all the way around, you know, when you can add those elements in there. Well, happy birthday. So when is your birthday? Next week?
Yeah, on Friday.
On Friday. Well, happy, happy early birthday. Gosh, we've already talked about faith, and I know faith plays a huge role in your life, your business, how you live your life, how you're a wife, how you're a mom, all that. But is there anything additionally you would like to say about faith, Lauren, before we move to something extra?
Yeah. I appreciate the opportunity to meet with to speak with you, Lisa. I know you're a strong a leader and person of faith. I think, you know, as a believer, you don't always get it right, but are continuing to try to surrender the journey to God and want people to feel like through my story that one, that, you know, if I can do it, then anyone can do it. Things are possible, but also bless those that are able to come in contact with the story. And who knows, maybe there's a nugget or two that your listeners can take away.
Yeah, very good. Well, Lauren, I have to ask you, what do you believe is the something extra that every leader needs?
Yeah, well, high levels of passion is what I would say. There's something extra that folks need, and that mindset, that perspective, that anything is possible, right? Because I do think it is, and I think people are capable and have much more potential than maybe sometimes we allow ourselves to, and that takes time building that muscle, but it's incredibly important.
Yeah, very good. Well, Lauren, I could talk to you for hours and hours and hours, but we won't do that to our listeners, but I cannot wait. You and I will see each other for sure in person coming up in a few months, which I'm really excited about, you and Sean. But thank you so much. I know how busy you are. So thank you so much for making time to be on the show today.
Yeah, great to be with you.
Thank you for listening to today's show. Something Extra with Lisa Nichols is a Technology Partners production. Copyright Technology Partners, Inc., 2019. For show notes or to reach Lisa, visit tpi.co/podcast. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you listen.